Morning, morning, morning.
It's the boss. I call shot
like a boss. In the gloss. Check my lip gloss.
I only rock clear. On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson. I got that.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome in. I am the boss, sitting next to Carla Dawson McGloss. How are you this evening?
I am doing great. What an awesome weekend of football and a little golf that's pretty exciting for the U.S.
Rounding it out, covering the world of sports, Carla Dawson, the wide world of sports. And I will say, I'm excited about tonight's Monday night matchup, Cowboys-Eagles.
It's your guys.
AT&T Stadium. It's a big night in Dallas because they do have three guys they're going to honor and welcome into the Cowboys Ring of Honor. Jimmy Johnson, Cliff Harris, Drew Pearson. Those guys all deserve to be there.
And what's your line on the game tonight? What do you have?
Well, Cowboys are favored by four, and I'm going to take the Cowboys. I think playing at home with the energy they will have in this celebration and the fact that this is Dak Prescott returning. He has not played on this home field, of course, since his injury last year. I think he's going to be very energized, very excited. The fans are going to be electric, and I think the Cowboys will bring home a win over the Eagles this evening.
Okay, and how are you feeling? I hear Amari Cooper, my guy, has got some bruised ribs coming in.
Yeah, he took a tough hit last week.
Ooh.
He does say he'll play.
Though.
He will play. Cowboys have some other injuries or suspensions they've got to deal with.
Well, there's an interesting little situation. How about that, Lyle Collins?
Collins just made an idiotic move. He's now suspended. This is the second game he will miss in a five-game suspension. He's their right tackle. Now, Terrence Steele filled in well for him last week and did pretty well against Bosa. I mean, we're talking about one of the best defensive ends in the league. So hopefully Steele can hold up again as they wait Collins to come back. But big matchup, it is an important matchup in the NFC East, the NFC least, we should say, because probably what that division is going to come down to is who won the head-to-head matchups. And the first one, of course, going to be tonight. First one for the Cowboys, at least.
I'm excited. And Jalen Hurts is returning to his home state of Texas.
And he's
coming off a subpar game.
Subpar game last week, but he's got some real talent. And we've got some talent joining us in the show today. Later this hour, we're going to have Keyshawn Johnson join us. And he's going to talk about a book he's come out with. And all things football, it'll be fun to have him.
Can't wait.
When we come back, we're going to take a look. What was the game from which we learned the most in yesterday's matchup? That up next here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to The Boss.
And The Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. And I really felt like yesterday the NFL served up some very exciting matchups. It's not every week you get matchups like the Rams over the Patriots or the Chargers over the Chiefs. Those were really great, high-quality teams in big-time matchups. A really fun Sunday.
That's a Super Bowl ticket knocked off yesterday.
That's right.
With the Pats and the Chiefs. I mean, they're gone.
Pats
Bye-bye.
And Chiefs both fall.
I mean, not Pats and Chiefs. Bucks and Chiefs.
Bucks and Chiefs. I know why you say Patriots
I'm
all
Tom
of a sudden.
Brady
but it is,
there.
To your other point, I mean, it's the first time that Mahomes and Brady lost on the same Sunday. I mean, that was what happened yesterday when the Buccaneers and the Chiefs both fell.
And to L.A. teams. The Chargers, nonetheless.
Yeah.
I mean, the Rams have been to the Super Bowl and faced Tom Brady before. And so, you know, they've always had, to me, they've always had it in there. And I think Goff was holding them back. And clearly Matt Stafford is doing exactly the opposite, bringing him to new heights. But to see this happening for the Chargers, you know, poor Tyrod Taylor with the bad luck last year, getting punctured, you know, in the lung by medical staff. Next up, Justin Herbert. And it's a whole new era for the Chargers. And I don't think that the $6 billion SoFi Stadium that's going to be hosting the Super Bowl this year doesn't have anything to do with the chutzpah behind those two teams yesterday. I think that would be crazy to think it doesn't.
Well, let's talk about the Chargers for a minute because Justin Herbert looks like he is the next guy. I mean, he throws every pass well. And he was
a lot of penalties, though. Oof.
Well, the Chiefs offense, I mean, they really probably should have or could have beaten the Cowboys if they hadn't had so many penalties. This is a team that maybe could be 3-0 but they have been their own worst enemy.
Yes.
Against the Cowboys, of course, it was penalties and turnovers. Yesterday, the Chiefs took advantage, or the Chargers took advantage of the Chiefs' turnovers, and that was a big difference. I mean, winning the
turnover
battle is obviously a huge lever each week, but the Chargers took advantage of them, and Herbert was outstanding.
Yeah, he was absolutely incredible and just picked up from where he left off last year. And I just love his – he's just relaxed. He doesn't look stressed.
Yep.
He's got weapons. He trusts his defense, complimentary. He trusts his weapons. He goes. And I think the turnovers was the difference. And if Andy Reid's talking to his team, I think that's all he's saying is stop the turnovers. You know, Mahomes has had 5 interceptions in the last 2 weeks.
Yep.
And, you know, that is very significant to why there's been 2 losses in the last 2 weeks and that they are sitting in last place in the AFC Wild Wild West. I mean, he had 2 interceptions yesterday, then fumbles by Clyde Edwards-Helaire again and Tyreek Hill. I mean, those are 3 major playmakers that aren't able to take care of the ball for Kansas City.
I will say that over the couple seasons we've watched Patrick Mahomes and he's done those no look passes. Sometimes it appeared to me or came across to me it's sort of a show off on a playground basketball court. Look, I can make a no look pass. And yesterday, one of his passes, it was no look. He didn't need to do it, and the receiver wasn't even prepared for the ball. There are moments when you just need to simplify the game and play it straight. And he didn't yesterday, and it cost him a turnover. They can clean that up. Andy Reid will clean that up. Of course, as we sit here this morning, there was all the narrative, oh, my gosh, the Chiefs, have they been figured out? They're now 1-2. Look, I'm not worried about that offense. They will clean up those turnovers. I guess when I look at the Chiefs, the bigger concern would be
their defense.
And they have shown that they can't stop the run very well. Yesterday, they didn't stop the pass very well. But that defense is porous, and then it puts them into a shootout scenario. And then you're asking the chief offense to be on that high wire tightrope every single week to feel a need to hold serve up and down the court. And it's a challenge for that Chiefs offense to do it every week, week in and week out.
No, that's exactly right. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes yesterday, his line was 260 yards. That's great. 3 TDs, 2 interceptions. I mean, that is not good. And really, I think on the defensive side, they need more from Frank Clark. You know, they paid up to get him, and then he wasn't in the Super Bowl because of injuries. That was significant. He's been already out one of the 3 games this season, and he's just not giving them, I think, what they need from him on the defensive side.
Well, one of the interesting things that teams are doing to slow the Chiefs down, they'll do a 2, sometimes 3-man deep shell, so the Chiefs can't go over the top. They have to dink and dunk mm-hmm. their way down the field. And then it becomes a bend, don't break defensive strategy. And the more times that the Chiefs have to run a play, the higher probability of the turnovers. And we saw it yesterday. The Chargers executed it brilliantly.
No, and you know what? Really give credit to Chargers head coach Brandon Staley, who looks like he's 12. I mean, lucky for him. But he stayed aggressive. He didn't, you know, for these rookie coaches or these younger guys especially, but rookie coaches, because I'm thinking of David Culley here in Houston, who's had some, we just can't even go there right now. But to stay aggressive, I mean, you need to play to win in the NFL. And I would never fuss at anyone who went aggressive. He must have seen the stat when he got hired that, did you know, the Chargers have lost a 1-score game 17 times since the start of 2019.
Yeah, they need to learn how to win in the fourth quarter.
Totally. And they did it yesterday.
They did it well. They executed down the stretch.
Herbert to Mike Williams is beautiful.
Beautiful play there. Okay, so Chargers over Chiefs, Rams over the Buccaneers, and that was a big win. The Rams, I mean, Matt Stafford looks like he's suddenly the real deal. I mean, it's funny to me because, of course, Matt Stafford drafted number 1 overall to the Lions. Everybody knew who Matt Stafford was. He was a big name. People were excited about him. Then he went to the Lions, and we never really heard about him. I mean, you go to the Lions as a quarterback, and this is a place where nobody pays attention. And now he's on the Rams, and he looks like he has hit a whole other level, raising the question, is this the same Matt Stafford, or should we, or can we even believe that this Matt Stafford, this level of play, can continue?
I really think it can. I mean, first of all, he's doing a happy dance. He's waking up every day, like praising whoever God he praises to, that he is out of Detroit. I mean, he was such a stalwart for them and, you know, did whatever he could with what they had there. But when he gets in this McVay system and he's got the complimentary side of football with that defense, my goodness. You know, what they did with Tampa Bay yesterday, holding – I mean, when Tom Brady is your leading rusher, you are in trouble. Yep. They held the Bucs to 35 yards rushing, and Brady was the lead rusher with 14 yards. That guy has cement in his shoes.
Yep. No, that's a real problem. But yes, credit that Rams defense. I mean, Aaron Donald is, we all know, probably the best in the business, and then they've got Jalen Ramsey in the back. They really are an impressive defense, and as you said, it makes the team more complimentary. Interestingly, though, the Rams' offense, they have Sony Michel, whom they acquired from the Patriots, and he's fine. He's serviceable. But they don't have a big-name running back at this moment, and they're relying on Stafford maybe more than would have been the original plan.
And he's showing up.
And he is showing up. I mean, he has really done well. In the his stats yesterday, outstanding, 27 of 38, three TD passes. He is on fire, and credit the Rams. You know, that Rams offense has put up 95 points in three games.
I know.
And two of those foes they faced, Chicago and Tampa, have pretty good defenses.
They have great defenses. And you look at Stafford's stats to continue it. He's completing 70% of his passes. In the last few games, he has 9 touchdowns, 1 pick, 942 yards, and almost a 130 QBR. Like, that's amazing. And it's so great for him. Because he's got the ability, and now he has the weapons around him, and now he's got the good coaching with Sean McVay, and it's a great marriage. I mean, it's early. It's still early. But, boy, to knock off Tom Brady is – and the Bucs, you know, they're really – the Bucs are struggling with injuries. Of course, Gronk was knocked out of the game yesterday. He'll be back. But, you know, in their cornerback position, they're going to be looking for someone because their backup went out yesterday. You know, after losing Edwards Bunting in week one, I forget who his backup was. He went out, and this is the third one, Jamal Dean. He's now out.
Is it time for the Bucs to put in a call to Richard Sherman?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think so. They lost him in the first quarter.
All right, when we come back, we get to interview Keyshawn Johnson. He's going to join us. He's got a new book out. It's called The Forgotten First. It's a really intriguing book. We'll hear from Keyshawn about that, and then we'll talk to him about all things football. And my question to him is, as a former Jet, is there any ray of hope if you're a Jets fan? It'll be Keyshawn up next here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
It's the Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
All right, this is a real treat. Joining us on the Progressive Insurance guest line is Keyshawn Johnson, standout Pro Bowl wide receiver and expert on all things NFL. Keyshawn, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
How you guys doing?
Well, you're doing great. Really appreciate your coming on. And before we talk a little football, I'd love to ask you about a project you've been working on. You and Bob Glauber, the great writer for Newsday, have gotten together. You've got a special book. It's come out. It's called The Forgotten First. Tell us about The Forgotten First.
Well, The Forgotten First is a book, a story that was written by me and Bob going all the way back to 1946 or even there before. But it all started around 1946 with four guys that were signed into the National Football League and two into the American Football League by Paul Brown and the Cleveland Browns. That's Kenny Washington, Woody Strode. Both of those guys played for the Los Angeles Rams, and Marion Motley and Bill Willis played for the Cleveland Browns. So in 1946, they were the first African American football players integrated back into the National Football League after a 12-year hiatus. From 1934 to 1946, black players were not allowed to play in the NFL. And the Los Angeles Rams were the first team to sign a black player in Kenny Washington since that, you know, that hiatus. And ironically, Kenny Washington was a teammate along with Woody Strode, but Kenny Washington was a backfield mate with Jackie Robinson, who was drafted by the Dodgers in 1947 and became the first African-American in the major leagues. And so the story dates all the way back to then. And, you know, it's just breaking of the color barrier and some things that a lot of us need to be educated on, because for many years we told the story about the National Football League without telling the story about these four distinguished gentlemen that paved the way for guys like myself to play in the NFL. And now you can't just tell the NFL story. You have to tell the NFL story and also tell this story with it.
So, Keyshawn, this was really a significant cultural shift in the history of pro football. I mean, they were entering a segregated sport. They had a massive burden of expectation. They had a lot of achievements, but they really did affect everyone going forward. They really did open the door, and they changed the sport forever. And I just love that you and Bob are chronicling this. This should be, like, required reading for all NFL personnel, players, and fans. I just love what you've done.
Well, that's the plan. The plan is to be able to get it in the hands of everybody in the National Football League on Park Avenue, as well as the NFLPA and fans alike. Because, again, the story needs to be told. We sent out about 100 or so books to the Los Angeles Rams, and they, in fact, played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Joe Buck and Troy Aikman talked about the book and talked about the Rams participating in the book and being a part of what we put together. So that was a plus, and hopefully it resonates with the players as they read these books as they travel.
We're talking to Keyshawn Johnson. He and Bob Glauber have written the book Forgotten First. The Forgotten First is an inspiring story about black pioneers who changed the NFL. They were the first black players in 1946 that changed the NFL. Keyshawn, when you were putting this book together and you were looking at the courage of these guys and the way they changed the NFL back in the 1940s, and then you look at where we are today, did you walk away with a sense, oh my gosh, we've come so far? Or did you walk away with a sense that, oh gosh, we're still dealing with some of the same racial issues today?
Well, you've come a long way, but you're still dealing with some of the same racial issues today, like you said. So I walked away with both, right? It hit me from both sides. You know, why is that? I have no idea, right? I don't know why people still think the way they think or act the way they act or afraid about certain things. But it has gotten better from where it was, and it's still got a long way to go.
Well, Keyshawn, I love that you're a game changer. You were when you were on the field, and now you are off the field. Thank you. This is important, and I'm really glad you're doing it.
Can we talk a little football with you, Keyshawn, while we got you?
Absolutely.
Well, I'm wondering about the city of New York, your former team, the Jets.
Oh,
my goodness, 0-3. Yeah, is there something that we should see in the Jets that should give us hope right now?
Well, what I would say is they got a long ways to go. They got a young quarterback. They don't have very much around their young quarterback, the first-time head coach, first-time offensive coordinator. So it's going to take a minute to build. It's going to be several years before they get to the point of no return. But I don't think they're there yet. And 2 to 3 years from now, you'll know what this Zach Wilson is, and you'll know what the coaches are.
Well, Keyshawn, you know, New York football in general, we're looking at the Giants, we're looking at the Jets. These are the bright lights of New York. These are tough fans. Why can't they get it right in New York?
Well, I mean, the Giants have gotten it right. They got four Super Bowl trophies. Two by Bill Parcells. So they've gotten it right. They just can't continue to be the way that they are. Eventually, they got to get back to some winning ways and some playoffs, things of that nature. New York is a tough place. The Jets just can't get it right. I think, one, the Jets' ownership is tricky and interesting. And usually when you got a tricky, interesting ownership, it never goes in the right way, because there's certain people that think they know and they don't know. Like, they get in their own way. And I don't think the Johnson family know. They don't know football like that, so they kind of get in their own way by leaning on people that they think they know and taking advice from people they think they should be taking advice from, and that continues to set the program back.
We're talking to Keyshawn Johnson, three-time Pro Bowler, outstanding wide receiver. So let's look at the wide receiver position. Is there now a better route runner in the NFL than Cooper Kupp, or do you like somebody else?
I think Cooper Kupp is really good. I think he does a tremendous job for the Rams. You know, the Rams offense wouldn't be explosive without him in the lineup. He certainly is a key to what they do and success-wise. And, you know, I think he's really come on over the last 3 years and really has become a force in the NFL. You've got to account for a guy like that where maybe in the past you didn't, but you certainly have to now.
Keyshawn, I heard you last week with Stephen A. defending those Las Vegas Raiders, which I love. I'm a Cradle Raiders fan. After yesterday's win, they're 3-0, and they're 3-0 against teams that have had more than 10 wins the previous season. Are they legit? Do you like what you see out of Las Vegas?
I do. I do like what I see. I think, you know, Henry Ruggs came to the party yesterday, had a pretty good game. Derek Carr obviously continues to amaze. Mm-hmm. And what he's capable of doing. Renfro had a good game. So when you start to look at everything that they do, you've got to certainly tip your hat off to them and think that they are here to stay. They're going to make some noise in the AFC West.
We're talking to Keyshawn Johnson. Okay, I got one more for you before we let you go. This is the week that Tom Brady returns to New England. How much time are you going to devote to that this week? How big a story is this in the NFL?
There's going to be a lot of time to devote to it on KJM early in the morning from 6 to 10 East Coast time on ESPN2 and ESPN News. You'll get a chance to listen to us, me, Max, and Jay Will, and we're going to discuss and break down all of Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, the New England Patriots. We're going to have all sorts of different New England Patriot ex-teammates on, personnel people, and people that kind of know Tom and Bill to discuss not only the relationship, but who should win the game and why.
Well, great stuff. Keyshawn, I really appreciate your joining us. To all our listeners, be sure to go out and get his book, The Forgotten First. Keyshawn, really appreciate the time. So thanks so much.
Thank you.
So, Carla, great to have Keyshawn on, and I loved your question. What's going on with these two New York teams, the Giants and the Jets, both off to 0-3 starts? So I'm going to do something. I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Oh, like that's never happened.
Yeah, like it never happened. Okay, if you had to pick the rosters, if you had to bet your future football fandom, would you want the Giants or the Jets?
The roster? What can I do with the brass?
Well, yeah, you're sort of stuck where you are. Would you feel better if you were a Giants or a Jets fan? It's hard to feel good in either case.
Gosh, I think I would feel better as a Giants fan because at least as Keyshawn pointed out, there is a history there. There are some Super Bowl wins
yep.
that are in the recent past.
Okay, would you take Daniel Jones or Zach Wilson?
Daniel Jones.
Really?
Yeah.
Because Daniel Jones has had a longer opportunity to demonstrate what is basically poor performance. Yeah, ineptitude. Zach Wilson, he's only done this 3 weeks of ineptitude, but you're already writing him off. You didn't like him in the beginning.
I didn't love him in the beginning.
Yeah.
I didn't, you know, he played in a non-Power 5 conference, which always, I mean, it was BYU, yes, but it's not the same as Power 5 competition. And then when they went against a tough Coastal Carolina team, he really struggled. Yes, he had one great throw at the end, but that really stood out to me. So I think I'm going into a pre-draft thinking, no, I would not take him at number two. He's good, but he's got to have pieces around him. He's got to get used to this pace of the NFL. And I think Robert Saleh is a great coach, but maybe not a quarterback developer as a former DC. So I don't have a lot of hope in the Jets.
Okay,
and Daniel
last,
Jones is smart.
Last question of this comparison. Daniel Jones' mom or Zach Wilson's mom?
That's my question to you. Right back, it's a boomerang.
Hey, listen,
will
Zach Wilson's mom wins hands down.
Right,
we all know that. All right, when you come back, there are five teams with 3-0 records. We're going to take a look at which of those three has had the most impressive start to the season. That up next when we come back here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
It's The Boss.
In the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, Here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
When you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside. Or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right. 3 weeks into the season, there are five teams who remain undefeated. You know, those 72 Dolphins are still sitting on pins and needles to ensure. I don't think any one of these five teams is going to run the table here. No. They're all going to lose.
But the 72 Dolphins did not end up with the Super Bowl. So, you know, you've got to.
No, you're thinking of the Patriots who fell in the Super Bowl. The 72 Dolphins went the whole way.
Oh, they did go the
whole
way.
Yes, they did.
You're exactly right.
We're sitting here with five teams who would love to go the distance. They sit here 3-0, and I don't think all three wins are created equally. The Broncos, here they are. They're 3-0. Credit them. Teddy Bridgewater, the Broncos, their defense, they've won three games. Have they turned your head? Do you think at this point you could say yes, because they're 3-0, they must be a deep playoff contender?
I think the Broncos are doing what they should do. Good teams should beat bad teams, and that's exactly what they've done. They've beaten the Giants, they've beaten Jacksonville, and they've beaten the New York Jets. I mean, that's exactly what they should be doing. And I'm really impressed with Teddy Bridgewater. I love what he's doing.
But to your point, they beat the Giants, the Jacksonville, Jaguars, and the Jets. I mean, those are three of the worst teams in the league.
They're some of the 0-3 teams.
Right. So
all of them are.
Yeah, it's just hard to read a whole lot into that Broncos team.
Right.
Now, they do have good, serviceable, above-average play from Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, they're getting from him what they really hoped to get, I guess, from Drew Locke, but that didn't work out. And credit them for bringing in Bridgewater, because he's clearly been a guy who's enabled them to win the close games, games where their defense is really performing well.
They've had a lot of injuries, too.
Yep, they have. They've not had the pass rush that they hoped to get with well, you'd love to see Chubb take over games. He's not at that point in his career, but they've got a lot of good pieces, some young pieces. They look like a team that's just waiting for Aaron Rodgers to me. But that's another matter.
That is another matter. But, you know, they drafted really quality young guys. Cortland Sutton, Patrick Surtain, Noah Fant, Justin Simmons, Javonte Williams. They've drafted well. And I love what Bridgewater's doing with it. He's doing exactly what he should do, and I'm happy for Denver. I don't think they're the best 3-0 team because of the competition that they face, but they've done exactly what they should do against that type of competition.
Okay, another 3-0 team, the Panthers. And they, too, haven't faced a really rugged schedule.
No, but they did. They beat the Saints.
They beat the Saints. It's a quality win.
So, and that was when Jameis had a bad week, which you're going to see from Jameis. But, you know, they're my surprise 3-0 team, to be honest.
Yeah, the ones that surprises you the most, the Panthers, that they would be here 3-0.
Yes.
Bring in Sam Darnold. Now, their defense has played better than a lot of people thought. And then Joe Brady's done his masterful work, as usual. The offensive coordinator of the Panthers has done a great job building an offense around Sam Darnold, getting him some pieces, and stabilizing his play.
I think what surprises me so much about that, it's second year for head coach Matt Rhule, second year for new OC Joe Brady, is just getting Sam Darnold out of New York. I mean, he looked terrible his entire tenure with the New York Jets.
Right.
I mean, seeing ghosts. I mean, we got it all. Everything. The complete 180 of what he looks like now in Carolina is such, to me, it's more an indictment on how bad the Jets system is. And I think Carolina is doing a great job, and I think Joe Brady is brilliant. And same with Matt Rhule. Really like him. His transition from college to professional has been seamless. Urban Meyer, you should be calling him. But I think I'm so surprised at, wow, you just give Darnold weapons and good coaching, and he's money.
It's a different ballgame for him.
It's totally different.
Yeah, the shift from the Jets was fantastic for him. Now, another change. I mean, we've got the Rams on our list of 3-0 teams, and we talked last segment about what a change of scenery has done for Matt Stafford.
Oh, my goodness.
It's sort of interesting because, of course, they played well, and I can't discount anything that's happened on the field and how well Matt Stafford has played. But I had this little trouble because as you've heard me for a couple of years, it's always bothered me how much hype, how ready the world is to anoint Sean McVay as the world's greatest thing. And, of course, the world was looking for the next Sean McVay. Well, as last I counted, he still hasn't won a Super Bowl, and yet the world's looking for the next Sean McVay. So it's almost like they just can't wait to show how good he is. And
a lot of expectations.
Look, they are doing well. They're a 3-0 team. They have the big quality win over the Buccaneers, so there's nothing you can take away from them at this point. Cardinals 3-0, and they have played well. Kyler Murray has played well. They've shown some defensive moxie. We'll get to hear from Howard Balzer later about the Cardinals, but credit them. They're off to a great start, 3-0. They are a team that I think will contend in that NFC West down the stretch.
Yeah, I'm surprised at the Cardinals being 3-0. And I just want to be clear that yesterday, playing Jacksonville was, the Jaguars were leading Arizona 19-17 late in the third quarter.
Yep.
And as only Jacksonville can do, would blow up. I mean, remember, there was a, they sent out Max Prater for a 68-yard field goal, which his record is 64, which is impressive.
Right.
But really, do you really think, Kingsbury, that he's going to make a 68-yard field goal? And that ended up being a 109-yard run for a touchdown.
That play
by Jamal
was
Agnew.
One I will not forget. It was so amazing. And I love these Alabama-Auburn games, you know, the what we saw before in college, when the long-range field goal attempt falls short, and you watch those offensive linemen try to tackle, and they get knocked down like pinballs. Boom, 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 and then the run back all the way. Really fun to watch.
It was so fun.
But yeah,
to
the Cardinals struggled a bit against the Jaguars. Credit them, they came out with the win. They sit 3-0.
And they did give the Jaguars probably their only highlight reel of the season with that run back by Agnew.
That's a big time reel.
The Jags need something to hang on to.
All right, another 3-0 team, your beloved Raiders. They have won two games in overtime. They had a really exciting game against your Dolphins. You must have been holding your breath throughout that one.
Oh, my goodness. That gave me – I needed heartburn medicine for that one. Both overtime games have been at Allegiant Stadium. So let me tell you, Raider Nation is getting what they're paying for there. But, you know, what's so neat is that the Raiders has had 3-0 starts before, and they started out strong last season too. But what I see differently this time is that this year, and again, it's week three, remains to be seen, is that this team believes they can do this. They believe in Derek Carr. He looks so confident. He's got a lot of weapons. And the last 2 weeks they have been without Josh Jacobs, you know, who is
they've done it without their best
unbelievable running back. So they haven't had a big run game, but they believe in themselves. And they are the first team in NFL history to go 3-0 against teams who have had more than 10-plus wins the previous season in, you know, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Miami.
Yeah, all those three teams did have 10-plus wins last year. Yeah, so they set that record. That's a big milestone. Back to Derek Carr, it's sort of interesting because it feels like in previous years the narrative was always, well, maybe Gruden wanted his own guy. Maybe Derek Carr was a temporary guy. Maybe he wasn't quite enough. Maybe he couldn't stay healthy enough. But that he was not going to be there, that he wasn't the one. It doesn't feel that way anymore. That there's been something that's happened.
Something's
clicked. The click has happened, and Gruden and Carr are in sync. There's no more whispers going on that Carr is the guy, and he's going to lead them, and he's led them in late games with big-time comebacks.
And, I think that's exactly true. And Gruden is very effusive about Derek Carr in the press conferences. Like, hey, stop the narrative that he's not enough. This guy has done everything we've asked him to do and more. And also, I want to credit Gus Bradley. He's brand new D.C. What he has done to that defense yesterday, 3 sacks, a safety, and a ton of grit. They had consecutive stops on 3rd and 1 and then 4th and 1 late in the fourth quarter. This defense is showing up and showing out, and they look completely different under Gus Bradley. I love it.
All right, those are the five teams standing at 3-0. Now, there are five teams standing at 0-3. The very other end of the spectrum, the Jaguars, Jets, Colts, Giants, and Lions yet to win. Which of those is the biggest surprise to you that they have not won a game?
The Colts.
The Colts, yeah.
Because they have the coaching, and they, for the most part, have the personnel.
Right.
But here's what I want to say to Frank Reich. Like, obviously you are the whole reason to bring in Carson Wentz.
You bet.
You bring in a guy with an extensive injury history in college and in Philadelphia in his first, you know, 4 or 5 years in the NFL. Where are your serviceable backups? You have to be prepared for that with Carson Wentz. He played on 2 sprained ankles yesterday, which, hey, credit the guy for getting out there. They weren't high ankle sprains. They were able to tape it, and he was ready to go. He had an okay game. But you cannot give up all that they gave up and all that they're going to pay for him. They're going to end up – their second rounder that they're giving back to Philly is going to end up being a first rounder at this point because Wentz has to play in 75% of the snaps. It's just looking like this was a pie in the sky with not a lot of planning underneath it.
Well, and that first-round pick, if it does end up being a first-round pick, might be a very high pick at this rate of play.
It could be a top 10.
I mean, actually, if I were Indianapolis and you're sitting at 0-10, there's a point at which you just ought to sit Wentz down because otherwise you're going to lose a first-round pick, or maybe a top 5 pick is the trajectory they're on.
Although, be careful with that because look what Miami did in tanking for Tua, and it looks like Jacoby Brissett could run circles around Tua. Well, yikes.
Yeah, the Dolphins struggling at the quarterback position when there was Justin Herbert available and they passed. I mean, that's just a heartache. Gotta be. You know, when I look at these five teams and you've said, well, these five teams are 0-3 and the one that surprised you the most that they haven't gotten a win is the Colts. My surprise of these five teams that are 0-3, my biggest surprise is that the Texans are not on this list. The Texans do have a win.
Fair. And you know why they're not on this list.
Well, yeah, they played one of the
teams
on this.
They got the football god gift and had Jacksonville week one.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
All right.
Honestly. You know, but this is an interesting quote I saw from Indy head coach Frank Reich. Wentz is our QB. We felt like him at 70 or 80% was our best option. Okay, well, you've got Jacob Eason and Brett Hundley as your backups.
Well, those are names.
Yeah, there we go.
All right, wow. Tough time for Indy. Listen, when we come back, we're going to give our congratulations, our kudos awards to a kicker who broke a record yesterday and to
a
team that won the Ryder Cup. We'll give those awards when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to The Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
All right, I feel a need to give out some kudos, some awards, some kind of special chocolate cupcakes from Carla, who you make them so well.
I will,
to
absolutely.
Some winners of the weekend. Justin Tucker.
Oh, my gosh.
His game winner, record-setting kick against
it was against Detroit.
Detroit Lions was unbelievable. And I can remember when Tom Dempsey kicked a 63-yarder, but this one was out of this world, hitting the crossbar.
Well, and you know, it's what's sad for Lions fans. I mean, this was the Ravens avoiding an upset.
Yes.
Because he had to kick a 66-yard field goal. It honestly should have been 71 yards because there was a massive delay of game penalty that was not called.
I mean,
what can you do? The back judge, which I'm going to call him the slack judge, did not see it. And so there they go, you know, in true Lions luck. So, and there goes Justin Tucker up, and he got the 66-yard field goal that doesn't make it. I mean, it hits the crossbar and bounces through.
Yeah, he wasn't going to make a 71-yarder if that's what had been.
Oh, no.
But Justin Tucker, perhaps the best clutch kicker in the history of the game. Right now, he's 16 for 16 on field goals in the final minute of regulation.
That's insane.
Clutch with a capital C.
Right.
All right, so one big kudo to him, one big award to him. And then the U.S. Ryder Cup, you're willing to bake some chocolate chip muffins for them as well.
Oh, my gosh, we're going to need a whole crew of them because this is the youngest American team in history. And they didn't only win, they hammered the Europeans 19-9. Like 19-9.
A rout.
So they were able to reclaim that Ryder Cup. So their win on Sunday is the first time that Americans have gone back-to-back wins on the home turf since 1983. Yikes.
Wow.
So that's a long time.
Long time.
So they're going to hold on to this trophy. It's played every 2 years until 2023 when the Ryder Cup goes to Italy for the first time. So, and the last time that the Americans won on Italian soil, 28 years ago in 1993. And let me tell you, I don't know if you saw any of the press conferences or anything, but these guys, I mean, they were chugging beers on the course. They've got champagne flowing. They've got cigars. Dustin Johnson's the oldest player, and he says he can out-party them all, and I'm pretty sure he can.
From what you saw, you affirm that?
Yeah.
Well, I thought you were going to give them as an award your award-winning chocolate chip muffins. You'd bake it for the team, but it sounds like they wanted something a little more of adult beverage.
It would have to be in shot form.
In shot form. Put a little CBD in there of some kind.
Exactly. Exactly. Maybe a little fireball. That's
well,
what they need.
Congrats to them. Congrats to Justin Tucker. I mean, I want just the thing about Tucker when I think about it is that there are a lot of teams that wouldn't even try a kick of that distance.
I know.
I mean, I guess we all know that the Cardinals will try it because they tried a 68-yarder yesterday. But a 66-yard kick is not something that very many teams try. Greg the Leg might be able to do it.
He might. And you know what? Credit John Harbaugh. He went for it on 4th-and-2 the week before with Baltimore versus Kansas City and got it. And he did it again today. So he's an aggressive, courageous play caller, and I love it.
All right, when we come back, we're going to give a look into the rookie quarterbacks, how they fared last weekend.
Do we have to?
Next up on Sports Map Radio.